services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host, Brian Anthony.
Good afternoon. It's high noon in the triad once again, which means it's time for Empowering You. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, General Manager of WSNC 90.5 FM, Brian Anthony. And what a great day today. Empowering You is designed to highlight local nonprofits in our city, county, and region, and the many services they provide the citizens of Forsyth County and the Triad, many of which you may not even know exist. I know a lot of things I don't know exist. We'll also introduce as many of our local corporations that have community initiatives designed to benefit you and continue to make our region a great place to live. Not only will we feature nonprofits and corporate community initiatives, we'll also hear from our local entities like Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, the City of Winston-Salem. And we'll focus on staying true to the name of this show. What do I mean by that? Empowering you by focusing on empowerment, specifically women's empowerment with a special guest partner. So I'm biting at the bit to get into the show today. We began this Empowering You last week with a focus on a return from the pandemic. And that's our perception for the most part. Today, I wanted to, as part of our monthly updates with local entities, of course, we have to talk to the Forsyth County Health Department. And here today, I have the director of the department, Joshua Swift, on with us today. How you doing?
Hey, I am great. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Let's start off here. You've probably been outside of the governor of the state, outside of a person we love to death, Mandy Cohen. You've probably been the most busiest person in the state.
Well, I don't know about that, but it has been a busy 2 years.
Yes.
And really fortunate to have 250 staff at the Department of Public Health, those employees that have just worked so hard and really helped our community and made me look good by mm-hmm. what the great work they're doing.
Well, I mean, the major part of it is getting the information out. Another question that I would have before we get started on a lighter note, have you had a vacation yet?
I've had a one or two short vacations, and as we were saying off air, sometimes those get interrupted by things, but
absolutely.
That's just the nature of it. And, you know, this has been a tough time for everybody, not mm-hmm. just public health or health directors, but you know, we've come through a lot, and I think our community, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, a little bit, is stronger now.
Good. In terms of the pandemic, we've been through it for the last almost 2.5-3 years or so. How has that changed how the health department does business?
Well, we really had to change quickly in, you know, March of 2020. So really had to focus on how we could still deliver services, which we did keep delivering services, but do it in a safe way. So we've learned how to be more mobile, more agile, offering some services remotely where people can, you know, just do it over the phone, over the internet. Also adjusting, you know, where people can just come up to the parking lot and we can come out mm-hmm. and see them, or they could pick up a voucher or something like that. So I think that's been a blessing has come out of the pandemic, where we've learned to offer better customer service and make it more convenient.
Good. The perception is, according to all news accounts, we're coming out of the pandemic. But I want to caution people, and this is not coming from the health department. This is just me. Even though it appears that everything seems to be safe, I went to a basketball game in Charlotte, full gym. Very few people had on masks, even though it's supposed to be safe if you're vaccinated. Where are we with that in terms of the official information coming out of the state and out of the health departments around the country? Where are we right now? Are we in a safe place where we can just move forward, or do we have to pay very close attention to those common sense guidelines that we had during the pandemic as well?
Well, so there's three things, obviously, we're telling people to do with COVID. One, you know, wear a mask if you want to, and if it's appropriate for you. I don't know if appropriate is the right term. It's based on your risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always a yes or a no. It's maybe this situation I'll wear a mask and this situation I won't. If I'm around someone and it's a crowded room, or this around people that are much older than me and they're immune compromised, and I want to keep them safe because it's about helping others.
Right.
It's not just about me, it's helping others. Right. So there's that. There's getting the vaccine. That's still important that you have the vaccine, and not just those first two doses, but get boosters if you're eligible and if it's been at least 4 months since then. Okay. Also, it's getting tested. You know, you can get tested at locations in the community, urgent care, at the doctor's offices, but also we have at-home test kits. So you can have them. And I tell people to have that at home so when you have the stuffy nose or a sore throat and you're like, maybe this is allergies, well, maybe I should test myself. So doing that, I think, is important. And I think the first part of your question is, like, what are the numbers saying? So the numbers are showing that we're low number of cases right now. We had the last week of March, we had around 90 cases in Forsyth County. But not as many people are getting tested. And those at-home tests, we don't see the results from that. So I think we have to pay attention. Some counties around us are starting to see an uptick in cases. Now, it's still small numbers. We're not where we were several months ago with Omicron or back with Delta. But I think we still got to, you know, keep watch on it. And I think the best thing to do, if you're going to travel, whether that's traveling to Charlotte or traveling across the country, it's kind of like you look at the weather in the morning. You look at the weather report. Is it going to be sunny? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be rainy? I think you kind of you need to really do that when you're looking at these other areas you're going to. If they're seeing – I've looked at areas and they're having a lot of cases. It's like, maybe when I go, I need to be a little more careful when I go there.
Let's touch on this. Coming from the health department, you are the official word when it comes to – this pandemic and how we as a community should address it. Let's deal with the naysayers and the conspiracy that the vaccine is not what we're hearing it is, or it's not, even though people are still getting COVID with the vaccine, it's not as effective as people are being told. What do you say to, based on your experience and what you've seen over the last couple of years, your take on the vaccine itself?
Yeah. So in my family, myself, my wife, and my two kids, 11 and 14, we all got vaccinated. My daughter at 14, she got COVID, mild symptoms. This was after she was vaccinated. I know for myself, I got COVID after I'd been vaccinated and boosted, and my symptoms were very mild. I was still able to, I stayed home. I was able to work from home. I didn't feel that bad that I couldn't get on online and do work. I was able even to walk on my treadmill. And just, so I was, so I've seen it firsthand, and I would encourage people, you know, to get vaccinated. Yes, you still could get COVID, but your symptoms are much milder.
And based on the people, and based on the numbers that you've seen, because I think you've seen more than most in terms of what's happening across the state and through our nation. Having COVID without the vaccine versus having COVID with the vaccine.
Having COVID with the vaccine is going to be much less severe. It could be very mild, just like you said, like a small cold, which is what I had, or versus without the vaccine. You know, depending on your age and health status, you could be it could be very severe, or it could be, you know, put you in the hospital. So, you know, I would encourage people, you know, we have seen people, you know, it's unfortunate. There's people that have died in across the nation and across this county who were eligible for the vaccine, refused to get it, had family members encourage them to do it, but they didn't.
During the pandemic over the last year, I've had to make a quick run to the emergency room for just to get checked on some things, not me myself, but I accompanied somebody there. And just the activity in the emergency room was alarming. All the activity going on, the wait to get in there because of the number of beds that are being occupied. It was mind-blowing to me. So it's not anything that people are making up, because it's actually real. The stress that it's putting on our medical community, the nurses, even though I found them to be very jovial, and as they indicated, they have to be because of the seriousness and the activity that's going on. Some days they work more than 8 hours a day. It's kind of, I mean, it's give and take. It's give and take. So while we have naysayers saying that, you know, I don't need the vaccine, I don't want to get into the opinion of it, but I want to stress how important that is when you make that decision not to get it and you end up with COVID and end up in the hospital, what that does to the system.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just think of the stress it puts on the system. It puts on your family. You know, and there's still car wrecks and heart attacks happening.
Absolutely.
So hospitals are busy anyway without that. Then you add on COVID and all the precautions that they have to take. It's just overwhelming. And I can't say enough about our hospitals. Both hospital systems have been great partners. We already were partners before that. But that partnership has strengthened so much.
Let's move past COVID. Let's get into going out of COVID and getting back to life here in Forsyth County in the Triad. So life for the health department is still focused on COVID, but there are other things that are going on outside of COVID that you guys are into in terms of community initiatives to help move this community forward. I want to touch on something interesting. You've got a couple of art exhibits that you've partnered with a couple of local entities, the Arts Council being one and the School of the Arts being the other. So wrap my head around, how does the health department get into the arts in terms of what it is your main focus is?
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it too, Brian. I think, you know, this started over a year ago when the Arts Council reached out to us and they said, hey, we have local artists. At this time, you couldn't play. There was no venues. There were no concerts. So we want to, from an economic standpoint, help these artists out. So the Arts Council paid these artists, and they came to our vaccine site at the fairgrounds and played. And the staff loved it. People waiting to get the vaccine loved it. It just was awesome. So that's where it started. Now, you know, there's an art exhibit that is on site locally. I think it's the Milton Road. No, Sawtooth, I believe. There's an art exhibit. So that is locally. And then around COVID, you know, looking at, you know, how we've come through this. I guess I'm not an artist, but, you know, I know that, you know, art expresses what we've went through, in life throughout history. You've seen, you know, art, how that depicts it. And so obviously there's that art exhibit now looking at how, you know, we've come through the COVID pandemic. Also, the Arts Council and the School of the Arts were chosen. Winston-Salem was chosen as one of nine cities to be part of the One Nation Art Project. The health department is part of that. And that's really going to focus on how historically marginalized populations have come through the COVID pandemic and how it's affected the population. And I think the biggest thing, too, I've seen, and just really the big picture, you know, some people through COVID, and I know you wanted to get past COVID a little bit, but we're like, oh, wow, there's these health disparities. And they're obviously a light was shown on them during COVID. But I said, you know, those have been there for generations, for centuries.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, we as a health department, my focus is how can we positively affect the community, not just for now coming out of this pandemic, but for generations to come. And what can we do, whether it's, you know, looking at and working with partners, because it's bigger than us.
Yes.
That includes, you know, racism, violence, education, the environment, our climate, you know, all these things, access to healthy foods, all these things that affect the health of the community. And it's so big. It's
it covers your – when you say health, it's very vague because it covers so many different things. I like the fact that you're meeting people where they are with the art to get their attention on things that affect them every day.
Yes.
In everyday life. So do we have dates on when these art exhibits are? Or do they just need to go to the website to find those dates?
Yeah, if you can go to the website, you can go to our website at forsyth.cc/public health.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll put those as an attachment on our website as well under the Empowering You page on our website at wsncradio.org. Let's talk about another element that the health department contributes to the community, because there's so many things that I saw on the website that I wasn't aware that the health department is a part of. Let's get into the programs and classes. Let's start with POSSE first. That's the one I'm most familiar with. Mm-hmm. What is POSSE and what is its mission?
Well, POSSE is a program that's been around for quite some time at the Department of Public Health. It stands for Prevent Ongoing Spread of STIs Everywhere. So it's a program focused on HIV and STI testing. And what it is we have a bus that we go and do outreach into the community. So we go to colleges and universities. We go to just throughout the community, trying to make our services more accessible. We also provide not only testing but education. Mm-hmm. We provide condoms. We provide, you know, just trying to help the community to prevent those STIs.
Good. The North Carolina Minority Diabetes Prevention Program, very important.
Oh yes, excellent program. This program, we are a hub site from the state where we actually go into seven other counties in mm-hmm, the area mm-hmm. To offer these classes, but the majority of the classes are here. We offer at least two classes a year here at Winston-Salem State. I've sat in on those classes at Anderson Center. Mm-hmm. And the way the class works is over the course of a year, you have 26 classes that you go through.
Right.
And you're with a group and they become family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a graduation ceremony. We had that about 3 weeks ago. And we give prizes. I mean, they get like air fryers mm-hmm. and things, mm-hmm. you know, that actually help them eat healthy.
Absolutely.
And take care of themselves. And I will say diabetes is, for me, it's very passionate. The average person with diabetes dies 7 years early.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my mother at age 69, and she was diabetic. And I think it's just so important that we help people learn how to take care of themselves.
Well, and most people think that that's a cultural thing, and it's not really a cultural thing anymore. It has everything to do with the environment we live in and the diets that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, for the most part, when we go sit down at a Thanksgiving dinner or a turkey or a Christmas dinner or a birthday party, it's about how much of that food can I eat and how much of it can I get to when it's not always good for you.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. A lot of that comes with education.
Mm-hmm.
What is diabetes? In the black community, I know for years in my generation when I was coming up, it was always known as sugar diabetes.
Sugar, yeah.
And everybody related that to too much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case. So what is the health department doing within these classes to help educate people in terms of preventive measures to help prevent people from going real deep into a diabetic situation?
Yeah, so the program, we have trained educators that go through this program, one educator through the whole time, mm-hmm. through the whole class. And it gets into nutrition, obviously, how to make healthy choices, how to even have these scales that people will give them where they – because a lot of times, too, people will say – And I've had to do this myself. I'm about 40 or 45 pounds lighter than I used to be about 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I went to a nutritionist mm-hmm. and had to learn that, you know, sometimes you can still have probably a piece of pie,
mm-hmm.
but not that quarter.
Not half of the pie.
Yeah, not half of the pie. Who doesn't like pecan pie at
right,
Thanksgiving
right,
or
right.
Christmas? But
peace,
it's
cobbler, all that. Good
oh
stuff.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the portion sizes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you know, in the class they learn about the portion sizes.
Okay.
They learn about how to be. So it's not saying that you have to
stop eating.
Stop eating.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's maybe how you can prepare it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, so I remember, you know, growing up, Mom, you know, it was the way things were cooked, it tasted good,
mm-hmm.
but probably wasn't always good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it doesn't mean you can't have good stuff. It's just maybe a little bit less.
Right.
Don't eat till it hurts.
My favorite is I can remember, I'm not going to say my mother, but in my family, the favorite line that I've learned how to laugh at is, you don't need a measuring cup, baby. Just pinch a little bit of this. Pinch a little. A little bit becomes a handful when it's all said and done. So that's always interesting to me.
But
good. But, I'm glad to hear that.
But if I could say, and then they learn how to, you know, be active. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you got to run a marathon. That means, you know, getting more active, like walking.
Right.
Or parking a little bit further away when you go to the grocery store so you can get some extra steps in.
Right.
So doing that. And I think the other part that is so important is learning just that mindset. Mm-hmm. Let's say you mess up. We all mess up.
All
we eat too much.
All the time.
Just like, okay, I'm going to do better this next meal or this next day. And don't let one mistake become like a week or two or 3 weeks of mistakes. So
Absolutely.
Just, you know, trying to do better. And then it's amazing to see individuals. Some, you know, the average person usually loses 8 or 10 pounds over mm-hmm. the course of that. Mm-hmm. class, and that may not sound like a lot, but go pick up a 10-pound bag of sugar and carry it around all day. That's a lot.
It is. So. It is. That's good. That's good to hear. And that leads me into our next program. You talked about the nutritional side, but then there's the weight loss side. You have classes for fitness and weight loss at the health department as well.
Yeah, we have classes really primarily focused on work helping our children. Mm-hmm. So we go in to the schools, we go into the Boys and Girls Club, we go work with groups that want us to come out and try to teach classes, sort of that same mindset on a different level, obviously, but just trying to teach children how they can make better choices.
Okay.
How they can and just how physical activity, and this is for kids and adults, all of us, how it can be more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have more fun and lead a healthier lifestyle.
Okay. For our newer citizens to the community, the babies, you have a Triad Baby Love Plus program. What is that?
So actually, we have lots of programs that are focused on moms and babies. Triad Baby Love Plus is a great program. We have a Healthy Babies program. We have so those programs, especially the Healthy Babies, we're offering classes to new parents with their kids before the baby's born and afterwards, just, you know, child care. I mean, that's the – when I remember when my kids and they're like, now you can go home. I'm like, can somebody come with me? Because I don't want to do – I got by myself.
Yeah, does anybody have an instruction manual?
So it's that. So it's working with them. And then we have other programs, Nurse Family Partnership, our high-risk pregnancy program, before the baby's born, and our CMARC, basically Community Care for Children program, where after the baby's born, where we actually have nurses and social workers that go into the home and help work with mom and baby and guardians and dads and everybody, just, you know, to make sure that wraparound that they're getting those services that they need.
Good.
It's really a neat program, and like you said, that's our newest citizens, that's our newest residents, and we're trying to focus on them and help them. You know, we have infant mortality. There's a disparity.
Right.
It's not just in Forsyth County, but it's sad to say that our African American babies are dying at 2.5 times the rate of our white babies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, you know, it's bigger than just us going into these homes,
mm-hmm.
but that's a first step.
Mm-hmm.
Both hospitals have programs where they're going into the homes as well. But again, that goes back to what I said. It's the whole community. It's the education.
Mm-hmm.
It's the violence. It's the environment. It's a lot of those things, that toxic stress.
Yes.
So you know, it's. But we're starting there. We're using these programs. That's a first step. But we're always, my staff hears me say it all the time, trying to think upstream.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Tutu said, I think I don't have his quote verbatim, but it was basically you pull people out of the river when they fall in, but then you need to go upstream and figure out why are they falling in the river. And
striking.
So I think we got to, you know, we have programs, but we're trying to always keep going further upstream.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we prevent these things?
That's great. Just the fact that I guess you have all these programs, all these initiatives going on in the health department. A lot has been mentioned over the last, I want to say 4 years, even before the pandemic, about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
What does the health department do to contribute to not necessarily prevention, because I'm not sure it can be prevented. What do you do on the backside when a person realizes they're really in trouble?
So, well, I think you're right. Public health and mental health, I mean, you can't separate them. Mm-hmm. If we don't have, so it's, and unfortunately there's a lot of stigma about mental health. And we saw during COVID, I mean, a lot of people did the right thing. They isolated and stayed away. But as far as mental health,
it's tough.
And especially if you have, I know some of our older adults, still, even with FaceTime and all the Zoom and all that, there's nothing like being around people mm-hmm. in person mm-hmm. And sharing that time together. So that's been tough. All of our programs, I would say, have a mental health component mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are not, you know, we don't have psychologists, psychiatrists, or licensed clinical social workers. So we're, you know, obviously we refer people. We work with our partners, mm-hmm. You know, here in the community. Daymark is also there across from the health department, Monarch. We also we have a pharmacy, mm-hmm. which we have pharmaceuticals that people get that come into our clinics. But probably 80% of what our pharmacy does is to those Monarch and Daymark, those mental health programs mm-hmm. that are on Highland Avenue,
okay.
where people can go get medications to help them with their mental health, mm-hmm. You know, bipolar, schizophrenia, so things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think definitely, you know, the mental health of the community affects the public health. You can't separate it.
No, it's impossible to do that.
No.
Let's talk about some of the – we talked about the classes. We talked about COVID to nauseam by now. Let's talk about some of the divisions that you have. I want to focus specifically – we were talking off mic about how many different legs of the community the health department actually touches, and that's through your environmental division.
Yes.
I know what environmental means, but what is environmental division consist of when it comes to our health department?
So that program, environmental health, mm-hmm. It has, you know, I tell people, even if you've never come to 799 Highland Avenue, mm-hmm. which a lot of people did with vaccines, we had people from all over, but I'll be true to what you said. I'll get away from COVID.
No, we got to get back to it anyway to wrap up, but don't worry about it.
But we have our programs. We have people, every restaurant, every food truck, every hot dog stand, we touch. Mm-hmm. So we inspect them either 1, 2, 3, or 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So every daycare,
mm-hmm.
And that could be even child care centers. You know, at the YMCA, their child care. So all these – we do the YMCAs. Just we do their pools, any mm-hmm. pool in the mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. So if you're – whether you're at the pool at the country club, whether you're a pool at the Y, at the public pools, at mm-hmm. your subdivision, at your apartment complex, any of those public pools, mm-hmm. we're inspecting. We do our tattoo artist. We inspect.
You know, you mentioned that, and I never thought about that, but that's highly important because so many people are getting what they call tats now. I don't want to call them tattoos. They're calling tats now. So many people are getting tats that there's a health risk to that as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, I have been with them on those inspections, and it's obviously anytime you're putting a needle in someone's body, mm-hmm. You know, they have to they make sure that those artists are inspected and are following the proper procedure. So it's every year mm-hmm. those artists have an inspection. So then you have, and I'm sure I'm missing something. We have a childhood lead program. Mm-hmm. We work in the community when a child is tested for lead and lead is found in the child's blood. That's very dangerous
right.
to the child.
Absolutely.
So I like to tell people that we're everywhere. You may not think that you've had anything to do with the health department, mm-hmm. but if you eat outside
Thank
of your
God
home,
for that. I'm always leery of eating out anyway, and because you know Facebook really tells a very vivid story about how people interact in their closed, usually behind closed door spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at how many people cook with animals in the kitchen. that drives me up a wall. So I'm very, I don't mean to offend anybody. I know the pets are very important to you, but you know, there's a health risk with that. And I'm very cautious when people bring potluck dinners and lunches to the office place. And I'm like, can you show me a picture of your kitchen first?
Well, that, or I can remember growing up and you'd have those potluck dinners at church and people would bring that stuff in and it sits for a few hours and then you eat it. You know, that's some other
outdoor barbecues and all these kind of things where people have meat sitting for hours outside without it being on ice. All of that.
Yeah. So, so it's there's a lot of things. And we encourage individuals. I've been out on inspections. If the general public wants to give us a call and would like to follow an inspector, we have commissioners. Our commissioner, Elamine, I know has been out a few times. He's on our Health and Human Services board, has went out with our staff. You know, we do, if you live outside of the city and you have a septic tank or a well, we do those inspections.
Oh, wow.
So that's and that's very tough work. The team that does that. So there's a lot of places. We have a vector control staff, so making sure to control the mosquito population, because there's a lot. You know, it was about 5 or 6 years ago we were talking about Zika,
right?
The Zika virus.
Absolutely.
So there's lots of different things out there. Our, you know, before COVID, we have a communicable disease team with six nurses. And there's 80-plus communicable diseases that we were already tracking per North Carolina statute.
Wow.
So then COVID came.
Right.
But so there's lots of things that we're dealing with, whether it's if there's a salmonella at this place or hepatitis here. So there's lots of things that we're already focused on. I would say, too, our inspectors do nursing homes. All the nursing homes, hotels,
that makes sense.
All these places, school, every school,
not
just the cafeteria, but the school building. So, it's a great team, but, it's environmental health, especially. They're all in the community.
And let me say this also. If you're a business owner that caters to the community, to the consumer, with food products or health products or whatever it is, I've always heard this come from a business owner. Oh, my goodness, here comes the health inspector.
Well, and I will say, I've heard that, and I've been on the other end before I got in public health. I worked in restaurants. But our goal that we, the staff, the supervisors, and the director, is education before enforcement. Obviously, we can enforce, but we really want to have that education.
Right.
So it's like, here's the way it's supposed to be done. Here's why it's supposed to be done this way. And, you know, no business wants that bad publicity of something, an outbreak or something.
That's a killer for your business.
So, but definitely education is our main priority, trying to educate those establishments.
Good. See, that's why you paid the top buck. You handle a lot of stuff. That's a lot just in this conversation. My hat's off to you. Excellent job getting us through the pandemic with information consistently and accurately, which is always very important with all the conspiracy theorists that are out there. Have I missed anything? Have we missed anything that you want to touch on?
Well, I think, again, you know, there's lots of staff at the Department of Public Health. We have lots of programs. You know, one program that we haven't touched on a few, like we have a WIC department, Women, Infants, and Children, where we do nutrition education and vouchers to try to get moms when they're pregnant and up until age five, make sure their children get the moms get proper nutrition. We have a Stepping Up program. So this is a program that folks works with men and women who have been previously incarcerated.
Oh, wow.
And I think the great thing about it is some of our educators or counselors that are their peer support counselors, they have been incarcerated. They've turned their lives around, and they can work with individuals to help them get back on their feet. Because a lot of times, I think we unfortunately kick people when they're down. I guess, you know, they've paid their debt, they've done what they're, you know, they're out, and you know, we're trying to. That's a very vulnerable time for individuals.
It is.
So trying to help them get back on their feet successfully. Another program we have is called It's called Frost, but basically it's a program for Scythe, a program focused on opioids.
Okay.
And we have an opioid educator. Mm-hmm. We've seen overdoses go up across the nation during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So really focusing on that. We work with the Twin City Harm Reduction Collective. They're out of Green Street United Methodist Church, I believe is where they're located. And just really focused on harm reduction. So helping people you know, we know that some people, as they're using these controlled substances, helping them, some of it is they're going to probably still do this, so we help them do it safely. Mm-hmm. But then people that get those services, you know, are five times more likely to then eventually get off of those that. So we're just lots of places. I'm sure I haven't hit on all of them, but I appreciate this opportunity to be here to highlight some of the services. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the support of WSNC and the community, Winston-Salem State, all Wake Forest, the School of the Arts,
Salem,
Carolina University, all these Forsyth Tech. You know, we're rich in resources here in Forsyth County, and just. Happy and just blessed to be the health director. Feel fortunate to be the face of the public health department and the great team there.
No, we're glad to have you because I've seen you work. I've seen you prior to the pandemic when you've come on Try It and Focus with Jim Steele. I've heard the conversations. You're very much on point. This is going to be an interesting conversation on a monthly basis. Every month it won't be quite this long, but we wanted to touch on coming out of the pandemic, this being our first conversation, touching on everything that we needed to touch on to get people back to life.
Yeah.
Back to life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think it's we're in a unique time. I think we learned a lot of lessons during the pandemic that I hope that we can take forward because, sometimes it's good to – You always want to be learning. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to, you know, learn from this, like us at the public health department, how we can offer services better, how we can, with employees, maybe do some remote work part-time where employees can be just as effective or even more effective
that way.
So trying to focus on that and focus on those partnerships that we had before that are stronger, but also new partnerships, the Arts Council. We focused with a group of the 20. Mm-hmm. A group of African-American men that have really been a great partnership through when we were collaborating to do testing events and vaccines. So that's been a great partnership. So just trying to keep working.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm looking forward to our partnership here, just getting information out from the health department. I think it's very, very important on a monthly basis to just update people where we are because things change so rapidly. In the world that we're in and around us. So thank you for your time and look forward to this discussion every month.
Thank you.
Joshua Swift, the director of the Forsyth County Health Department. We'll be back in 90 seconds and we're going to talk about the state of WSNC, its existence into the future, and just where we are and where we need to head to help service this community. We'll be right back.
Looking to increase awareness of your organization, business, or corporation? Nonprofits, small businesses, and Fortune 500 companies. 90.5 FM WSNC is growing at a rapid pace and provides you access to a unique and affluent audience. It can be a product, event, or community initiative. WSNC has the necessary underwriting platforms and packages to help your organization or business cost-effectively enhance your marketing efforts. Find out how easy it is to tap into a unique and loyal audience by contacting WSNC at 336-750-2321 or visit WSNCradio.org for details.
Welcome back. This is Empowering You. I'm Brian Anthony, host for Empowering You. We just relaunched this show last week. Thank you for joining us, by the way. We just relaunched this show last week with the City of Winston-Salem and Rinalda House, our feature, and a local nonprofit. Today, we've done the same. But I felt today was a little bit more important to focus on the return from COVID and hearing it from the people who we received the guidance from, the health department. So thank you to Joshua Swift for being here today. Right now, I want to kind of get into the state of the station. You know, when the President of the United States always talks about the State of the Union, well, I want to talk about the state of this radio station. A couple of years ago, when Calvin Patterson was hosting his show a couple of times, I was a guest on the show, just basically updating the community on WSNC because we had recently changed our music presentation, where the station was heading, what we had hoped to accomplish, what our mission was. We covered a lot of different things in two different interviews, 2-hour-long interviews. Today, I'll update you since we haven't had that discussion, and I'm hosting now. We'll get into what's been happening over the last couple of years. And, of course, try and make some sense of what it is we do so that you know exactly how this radio station benefits you as a radio consumer. Of course, entertainment. We feel like the jazz art form is our home field advantage because that's what we've been doing for so many years. When I arrived in 2018, February of 2018, the challenge was a couple of things, as a matter of fact. Challenge was a couple of things. Because we are receive a grant from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, like quite a few public radio stations and TV stations do across the country, we have a couple of criteria. Anytime you get a grant, anybody that works off of a grant, you know that there have to be results. So our criteria that we have to meet are audience growth and revenue growth, the same way any regular radio station would have to. However, we're not like commercial radio in the sense that our revenue is based off of donations. We're listener supported. Of course, donations are a major part of our revenue base. And that is basically people giving contributions to the station because they like jazz or because they like Winston-Salem State and want to see the radio station be a voice for the university, their alumni, and to be able to stay in touch with everything that's going on here on campus and in Winston-Salem for those people that live outside of our listening area. So that was the first thing. The second thing is we have to grow the audience. If we're going to develop a revenue base to become at some point in time self-supportive with your generosity, and also one area that has not been tapped into in the years prior to my coming to the university in 2018 are underwriter supporters. What are underwriter supporters? Underwriter supporters are anybody that has an announcement, whether it's event-related, community initiative, those are underwriter supporters. They're different because in commercial radio, you can do advertising and there's a call to action. They're always trying to get you to buy something or to come to something or to do something. Public radio is a little bit different. In our announcements, it's the basics: who, what, when, where, and how, with a sponsorship. So then that we utilize as branding, and I'll get into all this a little bit later, branding for your community initiative, branding for your event. We've added a digital aspect to our operations. The digital side includes social media, a customized website, and now mobile apps. So you have numerous ways to stay connected to the radio station, whether you're at work by way of your computer. And let me explain this as well. When you're streaming us online on our website, we require you to register to be able to do that. That's because a couple of reasons. When we go to an underwriter supporter, they want to know how many people listen to the radio station so that they know that their message is being heard by thousands of people or hundreds of people or whatever their target is. We have to be able to show, in addition to on air through your radio, we have these digital platforms, our website. People listen to the radio station through our website. So that's the reason for the registration. It's really brief. Put in your basic information. We don't ask any intrusive information. We don't sell your information to a third party. We utilize that so we know where people are listening from and how many people are listening. So fill that out. After that, there's a brief 30-second video commercial probably or video presentation. Let that play through. Wait 10 seconds, you'll see a little circular thing rotating at the top of the page so you know it's getting ready to redirect you to our streaming service. And then the player will pop up and you can listen to the station. You can also listen to the station by way of our mobile apps. So in order to grow an audience, you have to be accessible. I think when I first got here in 2018, according to Nielsen rating system that rates all the radio stations and the TV stations throughout the country, this station, WSNC, was averaging maybe around 10,000 listeners per week. With the change of the presentation, adjustments of our public affairs shows, not being intrusive during your lifestyle listening during the middle of the day, and that means we don't want to interrupt you, because how difficult it is it to listen to a talk show outside of the Chancellor's, of course, because he's very entertaining. How difficult is it to listen to a talk show when you're trying to work and focus on work? It's very difficult. So we play music from 6 a to 7 p. Our public affairs shows come on between 7 and 9. So we've made that adjustment. And we give you music throughout the day and all weekend long. Our specialty shows, gospel on Sunday mornings at 8, classic jazz every night, Sunday through Thursday. Now, Sunday it comes on at 10 o'clock, but we have a 9 o'clock presentation that you're going to like, too, that's considered to be classical jazz. We have classic R&B, 60s, 70s, and 80s on Sundays at 5 o'clock. I beg you to look around, listen around. And I guarantee you that our music presentation with the 60s, 70s, and 80s of classic R&B, I doubt anybody can compete with us with that show. This is one of my favorites. Also, we have Jazz Night in America that's hosted by jazz bassist Christian McBride. It's a concert presentation taken from some archives, some live presentations, and interviews with some of those classic artists that so many people grew up listening to. That's all of our specialty shows on Sunday. So that makes for a better listening experience. Now, our public affairs shows, all of our public affairs shows are geared towards education, information, especially when it comes to social justice education. We have some phenomenal public affairs shows when it comes to that. Of course, the world-renowned, award-winning Democracy Now!, that comes on every night at 9 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, I should say. We have a public affairs show that I think is very unique, and we are trying to get it on a national platform through NPR, and I think we're going to be able to get that done because it's so unique and it's such an outstanding presentation about the Constitution. Now, the Constitution can be boring, but Byron Williams, who's an author and a columnist for the Winston-Salem Journal, does a fantastic job of bringing experts in the field, people who are renowned for their expertise in the Constitution, authors that write about the Constitution. You want to check this out because it talks about, and very timely, how it affects what's going on in our daily routines. Of course, I mentioned the Chancellor. Chancellor Robinson has Future Focus Now that is on our Facebook page on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock and then rebroadcast on the air on Wednesday right here at 90.5 FM on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. We've taken a hiatus this semester to try and regroup because of COVID. He's had some phenomenal guests on that show, Mandy Cohn, Dr. Fauci, Stephen A. Smith, our alumnus, and also Chris Paul during the time of getting the vote out for the election period and the election cycle in 2000 and was it 19? Almost seems like eons ago. 2020. So he has some phenomenal guests and everything about Winston-Salem State. The important thing is that, you know, when I asked him to do the show, it's all about hearing about Winston-Salem State from Winston-Salem State and not the local media. Nothing against the local media. I love my colleagues in the local media. But nobody can tell the story like the person sitting at the helm of this university, Chancellor Elwood Robinson. We also have some great NPR shows. I mentioned Democracy Now! It comes on. Africa World Now! Is a local show produced by one of our professors here on campus, Dr. James Pope. Africa World Now! That's on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. With Good Reason, On the Media, and Latino USA, NPR products that are Latino USA is making its comeback Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock before Latin Jazz Fusion with Edgar Martinez. He's on the way back post-COVID as well on the 23rd. So we've got some great specialty shows, some great public affairs shows, great digital. Digital is there for you to be interactive. So many of us have very busy lives that when we hear something on the radio, sometimes we miss it because we have so many screaming kids and all of that. So our website is designed. Anything that you hear on the air, you should be able to find it on our website. And we're continuously being able to improve on that. Now, I mentioned earlier about underwriting. Underwriting is very, very important for the survival of this radio station. We have a very strong donor base that has carried the weight of this radio station, along with our grant from Corporation of Public Broadcasting. We are in position now, as I mentioned earlier, we started off with probably 10,000 listeners on a weekly basis. According to Nielsen, we're well above 30,000, 40,000 maybe. And with the streaming online and our mobile app, we're probably closer to $50,000 listeners on a weekly basis. So we're continuing to grow. What I found alarming when I got here in 2018, only 4% of people in Forsyth County even knew about this radio station. So we've done some marketing ourselves to make sure that people are aware that jazz is alive and well here on WSNC. We also recently sent out direct mail pieces. Many of you got them. Just reminding you, if you don't mind being a donor, if you have it in your budget, everybody doesn't, and I understand that, just think about it. We don't ask you to do not a lot, for the services we provide. And what I generally do is ask people, if you're going to make a contribution, do it on a monthly basis so it's easier on your pocketbook or on your pockets. Just think, if I mentioned 10,000 people, if all 10,000 people just gave $10 a month, that's $120 in a year. 120 times 10,000, that's enough for our operating budget and will keep us on the air every year with that amount. It generally takes me probably $300,000 a year to operate the radio station. $100,000 will help tremendously in relieving some of the stress of trying to accumulate a revenue base. Also, underwriting. Underwriting is very important because we have a listener base now that would be advantageous for any business, corporation, especially when it comes to community initiatives. A lot of corporations, a lot of businesses have community initiatives. The difficulty becomes, how do you get that in front of the people that need it the most? Ding, ding, ding. We are that facility that can do that. We focus on encouraging businesses and local businesses to promote and market your community initiatives with us. You brand it on the air, you introduce it, you brand it with a schedule, a very reasonable schedule, I might add, and we send you to our website where a sponsor can have a video presentation, an audio presentation on the sponsor page. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 3 hours. But it's there for people to be able to listen and look at it that have interest in your community initiative. They can sit there and listen and find out about it at their convenience. So all my local businesses, all you corporations out there, all you media specialists that are sitting in these corporate seats at some of our Fortune 500 companies around here, this is for you. Please take advantage of it. I think when you check on being able to do that, I think you will find our rates are very reasonable, probably the best in the area based on what we're able to give to the community. The other side of that is we're also a 501c3 organization. That means it's a contribution. We're able to give you marketing in return. So there are a lot of advantages for being able to market with us. Let us help you get that information out there, because we have some very astute listeners that are decision makers, and a lot of other come from a lot of walks of life, but they love this jazz music. So please, please just check on it. You can do a basic schedule. You can buy into a specialty show. For instance, if a promoter is bringing in an R&B show, we have a classic R&B show or a gospel show. So make sure you take advantage of that. We also have athletics. We have public affairs shows. You can buy athletics broadcast to the football Rams, broadcast to the men and women's basketball Rams, and also buying into the CIAA. Maximum exposure, because every year at tournament time, all of our athletic teams are followed by alumni across the country because of our mobile app and because of our streaming. So please take advantage of that. We're growing. We're going to continue to grow with your assistance. Hopefully you like what you hear from us. And yeah, we sound like a big radio station, but we need some more help too. So we're always looking for talent. If you are a former radio announcer and you just want to get back into the groove of things as a hobby, you can be a host on one of our jazz shows. You can be a host of a public affairs show if you're a talk show host, if you have talk show host aspirations. Do you have to have a lot of experience? Of course not. This is a developmental radio station where we're designed to help community leaders and students learn broadcast radio in an environment that is a real radio station. We have a need for voiceover talent. We have a need for interns from other universities as well, Wake Forest, Salem College, High Point University, UNCG. We have that radio station that can help you understand what radio is all about and what is expected if you're able to get out into the radio world and pursue a job. So we have a lot going on here at WSNC. We appreciate you listening. We don't take your listening for granted at all, because there are options. We just hope that our presentation gives you many, many, many reasons to stay and not leave us. And if you do happen to leave us, to come back. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for loving the jazz. Thank you for loving the jazz, because that's the main drawing card for this radio station. That's our home field advantage. And we appreciate it. Any suggestions, any recommendations, we're always open to that. This has been Empowering You. I'm Brian Anthony. Thank you again for joining us. And we'll talk to you again on next Sunday at noon.